Hello, this is Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the Great Southwest, and once again, you are indeed listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Let's start calling things by their names. If we don't break the silence, we shall die in silence. Against fear is life, against fear is love. Against fear are we, against fear without fear. All those who have suffered the weight of the immense boot know what fear is. I know how difficult it is to call things by their names. Against fear is life, against fear is love. Against fear are we, against fear without fear. Well, here we are again, and it's by God New Year's Eve. We had made it valiantly through another fit of consumption, the Christmas season, and prepare to emerge into what may be the first year of the new millennium, depends on who you're talking to. That poem that I just read, called Contra la Pour, by Raymond Padilla. Raymond Padilla is from Zatavia, Catalonia, in Spain. He was arrested and imprisoned for singing, this is only 1963, for singing songs in Catalan, in his native language. And finally, when he was released, he was restricted to only singing in certain villages and only singing certain songs. His story reminds us of what Mirek, the Czechoslovakian, said: the struggle of people against power is the struggle of memory against forgetting. I'm not quite sure what this program is about. It's been quite a strenuous season for us, and I've kind of cobbled things together, so I don't know quite where it's going to go. I think it might be about memory. It might be about recollection, about passing things through. I've had a dozen relatives from over a good part of North America in town over Christmas. A lot of catching up, a lot of memory, a lot of it flowing forward into this time, all of it useful. Some of it painful. Memory. Bringing things forward into our time. I remember old Earl M. Lyman, Elder Lyman, who ran the warehouse in Salt Lake there at 9th South and, oh, I guess it was 2nd East. I was working in the warehouse in the back, packing packages, and he would come back and hoist himself up on the packing table and yarn. It was during the election of 1960 when he said to me, an empty car pulled up in front of the White House and Calvin Coolidge got out. He was quoting Will Rogers. George Tucker. George Tucker was a mine organizer down in Kentucky and Tennessee. I met him when he was a very, very old man. He organized during the 20s and the 30s. And he told me, we met in San Diego, he told me we used to have an old mule. And I would go prospecting in the creeks on the weekends when I wasn't working underground. I'd load that mule up with about 40 sticks of dynamite and I'd go off into the mountains. Well, one of those sudden storms known in Appalachia boiled up over the mountains and that mule got lightning struck. All that dynamite went off at the same time, blew a hole in the ground 40 feet deep. And all they ever found in that hole was that fella's hat and that mule's behind. But now this plastic surgery is a wonderful thing, folks. The plastic surgeons gathered up what was left, worked on it for about 2 years, and today that man is the President of the United States. Now, those are two that should have a certain amount of contemporary interest. So get to work. Bring them forward into our time. Here's a song that I choose to bring forward because it kind of goes along with this. An old Tom Paxton, 1963. What did you learn in school today?
What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody's free. And that's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for the crimes, even if we make a mistake sometimes. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned that war is not so bad. I learned about the great ones we have had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Tommy Paxton. That's from the old Broadside, 1963. Tom, I've known Tom for years. You know, he's the kind of guy who can get up in the morning and willfully get an idea for a song, see something in the newspaper, hear a story, willfully decide what he wants to write about, sit down and write a song about just that thing in no time at all and be consistently good. Most of us can't do that. I have to wait for the muse to settle itself on my none too broad shoulders before anything happens. And Tom is still at it, still very, very much at it. I mentioned Broadside. It was many, many years ago in Oklahoma. It was a young woman by the name of Sis Cunningham, who was working for the Southern Tenants Union. And she ran into a tall, handsome fellow who was organizing cotton pickers, walked up to him and said, who are you? And this is the way she tells the story. He looked at her and said, my name is Franz Kafka. Well, right then she decided she wanted to marry him, and they did. That was Gordon Friesen, of course. Gordon Friesen, well, they were both members of the Communist Party, and they were organizing. The socialist bookstore there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, was burned down. That was 1941. And Gordon wrote a book, a pamphlet called Oklahoma Witch Hunt. Well, they were exiled. They were run out of the state. They wound up in New York City, up in the 100 block somewhere in New York City. It's in their apartment that the Almanac Singers began, and people, Woody Guthrie moved in, and Lee Hayes and all those folks, Pete Seeger, spent a lot of time around there. Well, it was coming up into the Civil Rights Movement, the beginning of the 1960s, and then the anti-war movement. Sing Out was the national folk song magazine, but it was made mainly to appeal to young people who wanted to learn to play the guitar and to sing folk songs, and that's just fine. But there was so much good music, so many good songs being written about the struggles, about the political and the social struggles going on around us. Mississippi Freedom Summer in the South, the first great anti-war movements. So Sis Cunningham and Gordon Friesen started a magazine called Broadside, and it went for some years. It was the first magazine to print young Bob Dylan, or Phil Oakes, or Tom Paxton. So many people, the only way they could get their music out was in Broadside, and then, of course, Broadside Records, as Mo Ash helped them to put out their own records. Now, there's one of them I want to play for you that comes from Broadside from 1963. A woman by the name of Mrs. Clara Sullivan wrote a letter to the editor of, she lived in Perry County down in Kentucky, wrote a letter to the editor about the labor news. Malvina Reynolds got hold of that letter, and she could do that too. She could make a song any time of the day or night. She twisted the words around so she got near rhymes on the end of the lines, gave it to Pete Seeger, who put a tune to it, and then in 1963, Broadside Records released that. Let's listen to Mrs. Clara Sullivan's letter.
Dear Mr. Editor, if you choose, please send me a copy of the labor news. I've got a son in the infantry, and he'd be mighty glad to see that someone somewhere now and then
thinks about the lives of the mining men in Perry County. In Perry County and thereabout, we miners simply had to go out. It was long hours, substandard pay. Then they took our contract away. 14 months is a mighty long time to face the goons from the picket line in Perry County. I'm 26 years a miner's wife. There's nothing harder than a miner's life. But there's no better man than a mining man. Couldn't find better in all this land. The deal they get is a rotten deal. Mountain greens and gravy meal in Perry County. We live in barns that the rain comes in. The operators live high as sin. Ride Cadillac cars and drink like a fool, while our kids lack clothes to go to school. Sheriff Combs, he has it fine. He runs the law and owns a mine in Perry County. What operator would go dig coal for even 50 a day on the mine payroll? Why, after work, my man comes in with his wet clothes frozen to his skin. Been digging coal so the world can run and operators can have their fun off Perry County.
This is Clara Sullivan's letter. Melvina Reynolds, of course, has passed away. Pete Seeger, who is in his 80s now and still out there swinging, let me tell you, that man is busy and he stays busy. The civil rights movement crashed on white consciousness like a tidal wave, you know, and swept away a lot of lassitude, a lot of complacency. I was there at the time, and many of us were. Awful things happening in Mississippi and Alabama, the lynchings and organizers being killed, white people going down there to do voter registration, being brutalized, imprisoned. Well, Broadside was right on top of all of that, and some of the first songs that came out of that were available in the North came out through Broadside Records, and some of them are really odd. Some of them you wouldn't expect. Now let's listen to one of those, a song called we're going to send this one out to the minority voters of Florida. All right, this is Mississippi Goddamn, Nina Simone.
The name of this tune is Mississippi Goddamn. And I mean every word of it. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest, and everybody knows about show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail, black cat cross my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Mercy on this land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer.
tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. You keep on saying, go slow. But that's just the trouble. Washing the windows, picking the cotton, you're just plain rotten. You're too damn lazy, you're thinking it's crazy. Where am I going? What am I doing? I don't know, I don't know. Just try to do your very best. Stand up, be counted with all the rest. Cause everybody knows about you thought I was kidding, didn't you? Picket lines, school boycotts, they try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. Yes, you lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady. And you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Oh, but this whole country is full of lies. You all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust you anymore. You keep on saying, go slow, go slow. But that's just the trouble. Desegregation, mass participation, unification. Do things gradually, but bring more tragedy. Why don't you see it? Why don't you feel it? I don't know, I don't know. You don't have to live next to me. Just give me my equality. Everybody knows about Mississippi. Everybody knows about Alabama. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. That's it.
Oh boy, I'm glad that that fell into my hands. In fact, this whole collection that the Smithsonian just sent me from of old Broadside, I never thought I would hear any of those things again. Well, and you know, there needs to be a new Broadside. This is a talk about bringing things forward in time. This was a wonderful idea. There's so many struggles going on today, so much great music being written up in the Redwoods in Northern California that came out of the strike in Decatur, all over the country. We need another Broadside. Now, whoever is listening to this, if you've got the will and you've got the resources and the people around you, get together and create another Broadside, because we could really use it. Well, let's shift gears away from there. I was up visiting rancher Hahn there at Troy, Montana, kept Hahn's Hotel. I've spoken of him before, an old-time rancher. I went over there on a freight train from Spokane because, I love the way that he spoke and the stories that he told. One time as he was driving me to the railroad yard in his truck and bidding me farewell, he said, "When you come back sometime, I'll tell you the story of the dumb horse." Well, I never did see him again. It was 15 years later. I was down in Prescott, Arizona, and I went there to visit a man in his mid-90s, Gale I. Gardner. Mr. Gardner, well, he was a legendary cowboy in those parts and a rancher, and also he was the original cowboy poet, one of the first. And I had gone down there to honor that fact that, you keep track of the people in this world that you owe. Well, I was sitting there at his feet. I had to look up. He couldn't raise his head, and I wanted to look into his face. And I said, "Mr. Gardner, do you know a story about a dumb horse?" And he said, "Oh, yes. Why, that's about a thoroughbred stallion." He said, "Thoroughbreds, they're stupider than sin. I mean, they are dumb." "Yeah," I said, "I had a thoroughbred horse once." And I had been digging post holes for better part of a day. I owed myself a trip into town to have a hoorah and go round. I saddled up that ridiculous, stupid animal, and I eloped into town's little town of Jury and went into the Ribcage Bar. And I didn't get plastered, I got stuccoed. I was just totally supine and recumbent on the floor. And that stupid horse, it was only rein tied out in front, loped in, drug me out by my galluses, threw me up on the saddle, galloped all the way back to the ranch, right up the steps into the bunkhouse, bucked me off into my bunk. Not only that, that fool animal went over and blowed up the fire in the cookhouse, got a pot of hot coffee, brought it and the cream and the sugar back to the bunkhouse and sat there while I drank it all. And furthermore, that horse dug post holes all the next day in order so I could lie abed and recover on account of I had a hangover that would wound a moose. And I said, "Mr. Gardner, that sounds like a pretty intelligent animal to me." He said, "Damn it, Utah, you know us cowboys don't use cream and sugar in our coffee." Mr. Gardner, a poetry gathering down there in Prescott, he was very old. He'd written a legendary song, a poem called Tying Knots in the Devil's Tail. Katie Lee, who lived down there in Jerome, she picked him up with her arms around his chest and held him up to the microphone so he could sing it one last time. It starts a little abruptly because he would hold him up, had to reach over and turn on the tape recorder. Here's Gale I. Gardner himself, Tying Knots in the Devil's Tail.
"I hear he peeps where the yeller pines grows tall. Old Sandy Bob and Buster Jig had a rode their camp last fall. They taken their horses and their running irons and maybe a dog or two, and they loud they'd brand all the long-eared calves that come within their view. And any old dogie that flapped long ears and didn't bush up by day got his long ears whittled and his old hide sizzled in the most artistic way. Now one fine day, old Sandy Bob, he throwed his seagull down. 'I'm sick of the smell of burning hair, and allows I'm a-going to town.' So they saddles up and they hits him a lope, for it weren't no sight of a ride. And them was the days when a buckaroo could oil up his insides. They starts her in at the Kentucky Bar at the head of Whiskey Row, and they winds up down by the depot house some 40 drinks below. They then sets up and turns around and goes her the other way. And to tell you the God-forsaken truth, them boys got stewed that day. As they was a-riding back to camp, a-packing a pretty good load, who should they meet but the devil himself a-prancing down the road. Says he, 'You ornery cowboy skunks, you'd better hunt your holes, for I've come up from Hell Rim Rock to gather in your souls.' Says Sandy Bob, 'Old devil be damned, we boys is kind of tight, but you ain't gonna gather no cowboy's souls thought you has some kind of a fight.' So Sandy Bob punched a hole in his rope and he swung her straight and true. He lapped it on to the devil's horns and he'd taken his dallies too. Now Buster Jig was a riata man with his gut line coiled up neat. So he shaken her out and he built him a loop and he lashed the devil's hind feet. Oh, they stretched him out and they tailed him down, and while the irons was a-gettin' hot, they cropped and they swallered, forked his ears, and they branded him up a lot. They pruned him up with a dehornin' saw and knotted his tail for a joke, then rid off and left him there, neck to a blackjack oak. If you're ever up high in the Sierra Peach and you hear one hell of a wail, you'll know it's that devil bellerin' around about them knots in his tail."
Gale I. Gardner. Oh, I wish I could have been there to see that. He's of course, passed away now. I never did meet his wife. His wife named Adelia Gardner. When it came time to close down the ranch, she had passed away. A poem, however, that she had written was found in her effects. I would like you to listen to that, her Hail and Farewell, Delia Gardner from Prescott, Arizona.
"Think not on my brittle bones, mingling with dust. They're but a handful, added to those gone before. Think rather that on this borrowed hilltop, one lived joyously and died content. In this dark soil I found reminders, saying, you too will pass. Savor for us the wind and the sun. From smoke-blackened earth I dug a frail shell bracelet, shaped skillfully, lovingly, for a brown-skinned wrist, now dust. That piece of broken clay was a doll's foot and leg, artfully curved, made for a brown-eyed child. Pottery shards, saying, yours for a little time only. Take delight in this, as we did. The tree will die. The vine will wither and rattle in the wind. For I broke a law of nature. I carried water to the hilltop. Nevertheless, for those that follow, there will be these things I've loved. Morning sun rays slanting across the great trees in the green meadow. Wind. The great blue sky. Peace of the encircling hills. And the flaming glow of sunset.
That poem was found and recited there by Adelia Gardner's grandson, Gail Steiger. Well, now, Gail Gardner's poem, Tying Knots and Devil's Tail, is about two old rounders. Gail Steiger has started singing and writing songs. So now here's Gail I. Gardner's grandson singing his John and Charlie.
As he went and chopped some wood, he fed the chickens too. John went to shoe that mule, and Charlie went to tell him what to do, to tell him how to shoe that mule. Well, Nezzy did some gardening, he tied up the old fence too. John got 1 foot trimmed, and Charlie, he told Johnny what to do. He told him how to shoe that mule. Nezzy fixed the tire on the Ford, he pumped a little water too. John got 1 shoe on, and Charlie, he told Johnny what to do. He told him how to shoe that mule. As he fired up a pot of beans, he fired up some chilies too. You had to watch it, if you know what I mean. Sometimes them chilies put the hurt on you. Them chilies would put the hurt on you. Siesta in the afternoon, maybe an hour or two. Then John would go and finish that mule. And Charlie, he'd go and finish too. Finish telling Johnny what to do. Nezzy went and looked at the cows to see if any babies coming soon. John, he's a cussing that mule. And Charlie's right there telling him what to do. Yeah, telling him how to cuss that mule. Well, Nezzy fed the chickens again. He fed the horses too. John's got 1 foot left, and Charlie, he's got 1 foot left too. Always to tell Johnny what to do. Well, Nezzy built a fire in the stove. He lit up the coal lamps too. John finally finished his mule. Charlie, he finally finished too. And even though they didn't have a thing for him to do, They damn sure shot.